Today, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to the book of Zechariah. It is the second to the last books of the minor prophets and also the second to the last book in the Old Testament. As we look at our series in the minor prophets, we're going to look at Zechariah today and talking about being empowered by God's Spirit. Now, the word of the Lord, it came to the remnant who had returned to Jerusalem. And last week, if you were here, if you've been listening, you know that we read about the prophet Haggai, who went and challenged the people to rebuild the temple of God and to restore this proper worship of God. And now God comes along through Zechariah and encourages the people. And Zechariah, he is a contemporary of the prophet Haggai. They came right around the same time. He spoke about 2 months after Haggai. In Zechariah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your ancestors now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But do not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your ancestors? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do." Now, a quick summary of the book of Zechariah is that Zechariah, he comes along and he encourages the nation to respond to her privileged conventional relationship with God by rebuilding the temple and returning to the worship of God in light of this glorious future when their Messiah comes and establishes his kingdom. Today we're going to build upon the foundation that was laid last week with Haggai. Continue from what we've been talking about in the building of the temple, and I want to share with you from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. God gave Zechariah 8 messages through 8 visions. All of them happened in one night. The passage we read today is the 5th of those 8 visions. At verse 6, it says, "So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the 7 eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hands of Zerubbabel." You see, the will of God will not lead you where his strength cannot sustain you. When God calls, he enables. If he says move, then he will make a way. If he says do it, then he will give us the strength to accomplish it. If it is God's will and God's work, then it is only through the power of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that it can be done. Now, as a leader of the remnant, Zerubbabel felt the task daunting. He felt the weight of all that needed to be done. Now, this was not the first time he was at this. Remember, his hands had laid the foundation of the temple some 16 years earlier, but it stopped because of the opposition, because of the neighbors around them, the surrounding countries, the resistance that was there. Now this remnant, their number is small, the people are discouraged, and their resources are limited. Much unlike the royal might and power back in Solomon's time, when Solomon had almost unlimited resources at his disposal, the look of the work in progress, it wasn't encouraging. So the Lord comes to encourage him, and God assured him that it would be completed. The Lord said it, so it will happen. And it's not going to be by human might or by human power. It's not going to be by the number or the size, the ability or the wealth that you have, but it will be by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So the very first thing is to not overestimate what you can do alone. God's work, it is done through our human efforts, but not by our human efforts. God uses us, but it is not us that accomplishes the task. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, what that means is, apart from God, we cannot achieve anything of real significance. God's Spirit is the only absolutely necessary resource upon whom we depend. If we are serious about doing God's will and accomplishing something of eternal significance, then we will learn to turn to the Holy Spirit and to rely on the Holy Spirit. And that is why Jesus asked his disciples to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit before they did anything. They needed the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit even today. And that probably explains why God sandwiched this message, the one about Zerubbabel completing the temple, with a vision of a golden lampstand and of two olive trees. You see, in Zechariah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up. Like someone awakened from sleep, he asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right in the bowl and the other on the left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. And then it goes into the scripture that I read for you earlier, which talks about Zerubbabel finishing the temple and bringing the capstone in with shouts of God bless it and God bless it. And then it goes on at verse 11. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstand? Again I asked him, what are the two olive branches besides the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? He replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Now the lampstand in Scripture, it generally depicts or represents the church, the body of Christ, the believers in Christ. And it's always burning because of the supply of oil to the lamp through the two olive trees. And it is a constant, an unceasing supply of oil. But what do the two olive trees refer to? Well, we're not really sure, but from verse 14, we know that they are the anointed ones. And it is very likely a picture of Jesus Christ as one and the Holy Spirit as the other. And what is clear is that the lampstand will always be shining and burning bright because of the unceasing supply of oil that comes from the two, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You see, the limitations or the shortfalls that you are experiencing today, They're not an issue to God. God's will for our life is not dependent upon our might and power in the first place. It is by His Holy Spirit. And it means that there is no end to what God can do, because nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. If we call Him Almighty, then He deserves more trust. You'll be fine if you stay connected to the olive trees from the vision, or stay connected to the vine, as Jesus said in the book of John. Connect with God every day. Stop fighting the battles of your life on your own strength and your own power. Learn to rely on God and on the Holy Spirit. And you connect each time when you pray. We should spend time in prayer. See, don't overestimate what it is that you can do alone, but on the same hand, don't underestimate what God can do through you. The Lord says, any challenges you face, any obstacles to my plan, even as great as a mighty mountain, will be removed. It will become as level ground. In other words, God will make a way even when there seems to be no way. Notice that the Lord did not deny the problems or the difficulties. He knows they're there. He knows the struggles that we are going through. They may be mighty mountains in our lives, but God says that we can confront them with His power. The power of His Spirit will ensure that His will be done. No one, absolutely no one and nothing can thwart God's plan for your life. Now the Lord, He went and promised that the hands of Zerubbabel that had laid the foundation of the temple would also be the ones that would complete it. And when that capstone is brought out, which is the final piece, the very top stone, the crowning stone, if you will, the people will shout, God bless it. God bless it. Zerubbabel, he will finish what he started, and that was the laying of the foundation. Put it in another way, God is going to finish the job by His Spirit. And God is going to finish what it is that He started. Because you see, God sees the end from the beginning. Whatever it is that you are encountering today, God already sees the end. So don't look at the mountains. They will be there. You can't run away from them. Focus instead on His promise and not the problem. Try to see through the mountain to the end, the other side, and know that God will go with you either over it, around it, or even through it, and He can level it down. Choose to look to God, and He will always be there. He has the power to level that mountain that is before you. In Romans chapter 8, at verse 37, it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all these things, but that's only through Him. Now the Lord goes and He says in verse 10, who despises the day of small things? You see, the remnant that remained, they may feel like they are small and weak. The resources are limited and few, but they did eventually finish what it is that God had called them to do, and that was to finish the temple. See, it is not the smallness that is an issue. It is the belief that we are small, that we are weak, that we are frail and unable to do it. We need to change that belief. We believe in the Lord Almighty. That's how He introduced Himself several times in these scriptures. He is the Lord Almighty, and we believe that. And so size is not an issue to God. Do you realize that Gideon wanted to fight the Midianites? It was an army of 135,000 men. And he wanted to do it with 32,000 men, and God asked him to reduce it even further, down to a mere 300. And you know what? They actually won that battle against an army that was 450 times their size. In Judges chapter 7, begin at verse 2, it says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead.'" So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. You know why God sometimes keeps things small? It's because you cannot be too small for God to use, but it is possible that you could be too big for Him to use, because then you would not need Him. You would not rely on Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, it says, "Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him." Stay humble. Learn to offer what it is that you have. Do the little bit that you can, and then leave the rest to God and let Him work. See, we need to adopt the attitude of a farmer who goes out and he sows the seed and he waits with hope that the harvest will come. You see, God is the Lord of the harvest. But we will sow the seed. Some will sow and some will water, but God causes the growth. We just need to be faithful to do what it is that God has called us to do. Now, Richmond Community Church, it has been here for many years. It is not a perfect journey. It has not been a smooth journey, but it is a journey of faith with God who has called us. Over the 79 years, there have been many souls that have been saved. Many who have found Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Many who have attended here. The numbers have been up over the 200s and down as low as 20. There are many who have returned home. There are many more who have heard the gospel. They've come here for teaching or for healing, for a time of rest and relaxation. And then they have moved on from here. They are working through here, some of them here in Portland, here in Oregon, around the world. It is amazing if you go to any of the association events, there are always people who say, "I remember Richmond, I used to go there." There are a lot of people who used to attend Richmond. And what we see today is a testimony of God's grace and His gifts. Imagine what it would have been like if some 79 years ago, after they laid the foundation, the people decided, "That's it. We would not be here. This building would not be here. Richmond Community Church would not exist." You see, we cannot transform lives. We cannot convict people. We cannot even bless people, strictly speaking, because it is not by our might or by our power, but it is by God's Spirit. God can go and remove the obstacles and turn our small gifts into wonderful things that can be used to please Him and to glorify His name. We have what we do not deserve. And it's only right for us to give thanks and honor to God for all that He has done for us. Now, there are some of you here today, this morning, that need to get the connection right again. You know, maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ and you were on fire and you were moving forward, and over the time, something has tarnished it. That connection has kind of been lost. Maybe you've never made that connection with Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Him as your Savior. Today could be that day. Turn back to Him. Begin trusting Him and relying on His Spirit. Now, for some of you in here this morning, you may be facing problems. It seems like a mountain before you. And you have tried all that you know, but nothing has changed. And all you can see is that mountain, and you have no idea how you're going to get over it or around it or through it. Now, I don't have an easy answer for you, but I do know that God can level it down for you. Keep up the faith. Keep on praying. Keep pressing forward. Remember that God sees the end from where you're at, and He can be right there with you and lead you over it or through it or around it. Look to His promise and not the problem. Try to see through it and see God on the other side. Now, for some of you here this morning, you need to step up. You see, God has a great task. If not, we as a congregation, we would, as a body of believers, as Richmond Community Church, we would not exist. If God did not have a task for you specifically or individually, then you would not exist. We all have a purpose and a calling, and that is why we are here. But some of you need to step up to the plate. You need to put your hands to the work. You've been laying low for too long. You've been complacent, maybe even discouraged. You've been riding in on somebody else's coattails, just kicking back and relaxing. Step up and be counted. Put your hands into the work. Allow God to use you and to work through you. You see, God wants to use you to accomplish His will on earth. Because you see, God, He will make a way even when there seems to be no way. And He can use each and every one of us. Are you willing?